This is the Arab Daily News Podcast, www.thearabdailynews.com.
I'm Rehan Ania.
And I'm Ali Yunus.
And this is the Arab Daily News online podcast, and we're talking, Ali, about the recent announcement that Israel was going to launch a ground invasion into Gaza.
They already did.
That they've already done it, they've already started, and they've gone. By the time people hear this, how far do you think the Israelis are planning to go?
I think, from the look of it, you know, they started today. You know, first of all, to point out, once the Malaysian plane crash announced over Ukraine, and it was announced it was hit by a rocket,
right?
The Israelis started bombarding Gaza.
Right. It was almost as if they were using that recent news to, like, cover.
For 10 days, the Israelis were ready to invade Gaza, but they were sitting on the borders. Israeli soldiers were ready. They were briefed. Every soldier had a specific instruction and assignment as to when the invasion takes place. They should be doing this for that assignment.
Right.
Those soldiers were ready on the borders, waiting for the green light. By the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Now, with the world attention now focused on Ukraine and the Malaysian airline,
Netanyahu
perhaps, found a window, an opportunity to exploit that. While the world is looking elsewhere, he gave the green light to go ahead for his ready-to-go troops and start bombarding Gaza. And I should point out, up until maybe an hour ago, or 2 hours ago, right before the invasion, the Palestinians have suffered 231 persons were killed, and over close to 2,000 people were injured.
Right.
I think the Israeli objective, from the look of it, from the bombardment, they were trying to go to northern Gaza. And the reason for that part of Gaza is agricultural, very close to Israel, of course, and less densely populated. And Israel is reasoning that if they go to northern Gaza, potentially cut Gaza in half, they can deprive Hamas and its Al-Qassam brigade from territory from which they could launch their missiles and rockets onto Israel. Therefore, cutting the distance depriving Hamas from the ability to strike deeper into Israel's territory.
Yeah, I don't think, though, that Israel's goal isn't to destroy Hamas, because I think Israel wants Hamas. They don't want it to be dangerous, but they want it to be a threat, because as long as Hamas is viewed as Israel versus Hamas rather than Israel and the Palestinians, this is a perception issue. For Israel, it helps them in where it counts, you know, with the United States. And they have the complete backing of the United States.
You know, that's a valid argument, because Israel historically has always used the perception of the threat, the perception of fear. Look, in 1940s, in 1948, they used a lie, you know, some sort of propaganda on part of the Egyptians, who said, well, we're going to throw the Israeli, the Jews in the sea.
Right.
They're still using that.
Right. Well, I mean, listen, the truth is Nasser said it, though.
I mean, is that a threat? The Egyptian army is not a threat. It was never a threat. It's not a threat.
But the point is that, you know, the point is, you're right, they're not a threat, but Nasser said that. Nasser said that he was going to drive the Jews into the sea. But, you know, among the Arabs, when they speak Arabic, they don't say the Sehunin, they say the Yahud. They didn't even say the Israelin, they said Yahud. So when you translate it from Arabic into English, it sounds like they're going to drive the Jews into the sea. So it was never about...
Well, they said that literally, but this has to be qualified.
Right, but it was never about Jews, it was about the Zionists. They wanted to drive Israelis and the Zionists.
Jews, because in America you don't say Jews this,
right,
that.
Right.
This is inappropriate.
Right, but isn't that part of the problem with the Arab community? You know, that they talk to themselves, but they don't think about how they sound to an audience that might have impact on them, like the United States. A lot of Arabs don't think the United States has any, influence over this. They think it's all about Israel. We're going to fight to the death, And it's not their death. It's the death of the people living in Gaza. You know, I have an issue with the way we are presenting our conflict to the world. And I think they're doing a terrible job.
I agree with you. That's right. They are doing a terrible job, and they're not really playing. I mean, look, if I compare with the Israeli speakers, and we both know them, Mark Regev, Peter, I forgot his name, Peter Lerner, the spokesman for the.
But Mark Regev is a great example. I think you've talked to him. He's a very smart person. He's very
smart,
articulate.
He knows English.
Yes.
Very articulate. And they're always ready. They have a spokesman for the Arabic, spokesman for the French media,
right.
For the English media, any kind of media. They are highly organized. They can use a Twitter account, Facebook account, use all the kind of stuff we could talk to you about.
Yeah, and who do we have? We have Saab Erekat. We have Saab Erekat, who's always saying, he always sounds emotional. He's always upset. And then we got Ismail Haniyeh, who has to do his own talking all the time in Arabic, and nobody from Hamas. Is there anybody from Hamas that speaks English? I mean, I'm sure they do. Why don't they put somebody articulate up to explain Israel is doing to Gaza?
I talked to Saab Erekat today. He gave me 2 minutes. He told me, he said, Ali, I talk to Wolf Spitzer every day, you know.
And he doesn't sound effective.
The right things.
Yeah, but Saab Erekat doesn't sound effective.
Saab Erekat and the Palestinian leadership, the secular one to Ramallah, now I think they will have major issue with their credibility. If I was the Palestinian president, I would go stand with my people in Gaza.
Right.
I want to go to there to protect them. That's what any or a leader would do. You lead by example. You show people you care about them and you love them. You don't go on and kind of criticize Hamas at the time of war. Imagine you criticize the president in the time of war here. Nobody does that here.
Let's just go back to Mark Regev, because I want to make one point about him. He's very smart. He sounds good. He knows the issues. And you know what the first thing...
He's very lethal.
He's very good. I mean, and you know the first thing he says every time, we're so sorry about the killing of civilians. We don't intend to kill them, but Hamas is using them as human shields. He always says that. So, and that's propaganda. But the point is, he knows what to say to disarm the anger of Americans. The Arabs don't. Even if we had a good Arab who knew how to speak English, they don't know how to talk to the American people. So we lose that argument. And don't you think, Ali, losing the American public hurts, you know, gives Israel strength and fuels its drive to destroy Hamas?
Exactly, because if you want the American public, you don't need the Arabs in Egypt.
I mean, the Arabs are worthless. They're AWOL. They're gone. Where are the Arabs, by the way? They're nowhere.
I'll tell you, just to jump to another issue. The Egyptians are not all the people of Egypt, but I'm talking about the regime, the military regime there, and the media are siding with Israel.
Because in their view, this is Israel defined this war using public relations. This is a war between Israel and Hamas.
Hamas, because, well, to put the listener in perspective, the Egyptians toppled the democratic government of Muslim Brotherhood Muhammad Morsi. Hamas roots is in the Muslim Brotherhood.
No, I understand that, but
enemy.
Everybody understands that. But this war, there's a difference in this war than past wars. This war is about, again, it's about Israel versus Hamas. It's not about Israel versus the Palestinians. We can't even make it about the Palestinians, even if we wanted to. You talk to Americans, it's about Hamas. Hamas is a terrorist organization. Hamas fires rockets. They've even dehumanized it so that it's about an organization that Israel's trying to destroy, and civilians are being killed by accident. The Arabs are going along with that. The Arabs are willing to support the destruction of Hamas.
Isn't that true?
Saudi Arabia.
The anti-Hamas. You know, the funny thing. They
all the Gulf Arabs.
Who are mainstream Muslims, by the way. And they support terrorists, ISIS. They support Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and all these groups, jihadist groups, are supported by the Gulf, supported by Saudi money, because the ideological background of all these groups, Wahhabism.
Right.
Saudi Arabia, let's be honest here. Muslim Brotherhood, they're not Wahhabis.
Right. I know. Listen, the Wahhabis are more extreme than
the difference between all these Islamic groups. Muslim Brotherhood is the enemy of Wahhabis because it's the mainstream. Right. And they were president, they were in government in Egypt, and the U.S. government recognized that, and they're not listening to the terrorist organization. Rightly so. You know, and the Arabs are falling victims to the propaganda that Hamas is a terrorist organization. The only reason they are saying that is because Hamas is not going along with the Egyptians over the Saudi branch, and Hamas is a victim of fierce propaganda campaign by the Egyptians.
Right, but they're the victims of a media campaign led by Israel, and the Arabs are going along with it. Let me ask you a question about this was a very interesting point that really hurt the Arab and Palestinian cause. When the Israelis said they wanted to make a truce, Hamas refused to do it. That's what the media claimed. Why is Hamas fighting with Israel? What if they stopped firing rockets at Israel? Wouldn't that give Hamas the ability to put Israel on the spot and maybe force Israel to stop?
Let me explain. First of all, the former prime minister of the Palestinians, who is a Hamas, who is the deputy chief of Hamas in Gaza, gave a speech a couple of days ago. He said, and I quote, he said, "We did not start this war. We did not provoke this war. We don't want this war."
I agree with that. I agree.
And I quote, he said, "We're not opposing the ceasefire with Israel. The issue here is that the Egyptians presented a ceasefire not to Hamas, to Israel only. They neglected to tell Hamas, 'There's a ceasefire. What do you think about it?' Hamas heard about the ceasefire from the media. Nobody consulted
them." Well, let me ask you a question, honestly. Okay, so they heard about it from the media. Why didn't they accept it? Why didn't they accept it? Why didn't they say, "We don't want this," so that Israel would be put in a position to stop firing their missiles at the Palestinians? Why is it that they're more concerned about pride? Nobody told them directly. They knew about it. I heard them. I heard their response.
Hamas has a big strategic vision. They argue, it's not about fire, it's not about Hamas, really. Hamas says, "We want ceasefire. But ceasefire, first of all, Israel, we arrested the prisoners."
I understand that, but they didn't say that. They didn't say they wanted a ceasefire. Why didn't they say that? They said they would reject the ceasefire. They knew about the ceasefire, and everybody that talked about it said was because they were mad. Nobody approached them and asked them, "Here's what we were going to put together."
What they said was, "We did not reject the ceasefire. They said, we are rejecting the Egyptian proposal, the Egyptian form of the ceasefire, because the Egyptian proposal wanted Hamas to stop, and Israel to stop, and that's it."
You know what? Most people in let's use the Americans. Do you think the Americans are the most important audience in this fight, or do you think there's another audience? Do you believe the Europeans? I mean, who's going to really have an impact on Israel? Anybody?
The Americans, you know. But
the Americans. Right. Do you think the Americans care when Hamas says, "Oh, the Egyptian ceasefire never included a proposal"? Why didn't they just say, "Yes, we want a ceasefire," and then deal with the issues? Because I don't think they wanted a ceasefire. I think Hamas wants this conflict.
But Egypt did not invite Hamas.
I get it. And why would they? Because Egypt supports Israel. Let's be honest, right? They don't want Hamas to... They're not honest brokers. But is anybody an honest broker in this fight? Nobody.
They sign up on a ceasefire. They go about the same thing. First, there are 1.8 million Palestinians in Gaza, in an area that is twice the city of Washington, D.C.
Right.
They can't leave Gaza by sea. They can't go to Egypt, you know, by land. And they can't go to Israel by land or go through Israel by land. So it's an open-air prison. So for Hamas, the argument goes, if we sign up on a ceasefire here and we go back to be prisoners again, why not, you know, sit fast a little bit longer, stay on the ground, you know, stand their ground a little bit longer? Maybe we could force Israel and Egypt to open this prison a little bit for us and for our people, because Hamas audience are in Gaza, and Hamas is interested to lessen the suffering of its constituency, Gaza. Because if Hamas accepts a ceasefire and things go back to an open-air prison system, then Hamas would lose its audience. Look, Hamas has a mandate to support its people, to open the gates for them, let them trade, let them travel.
Americans are not going to listen to any of that. Americans don't care about that. What they care about is this. If I'm standing there with the...
They are not the American people, right? Hamas constituency out of the
They town. Don't care. You're right. Hamas doesn't care about the one thing they should care about, who can influence Israel. Because, listen, are you telling me that Hamas is equal to Israel?
No.
No, of course not. They're standing there with a stick, and Israel is standing it with a million guns. Why would you fight somebody like that? Why would you fight them with a stick? Why are they fighting with their firecrackers? Those missiles they're firing, they're worthless. Nothing's happening.
Do you think that even if Hamas put the best PR campaign...
Yes, I do. I'm going to jump ahead and say yes, they would. If they could mount a good PR campaign that would educate Americans, they would give Obama, who is the most pro-Arab president the world has ever seen, cover so he could step in and pull the Israelis back. But we won't give him cover. We put our pride in front of everything. We yell and scream, and we fire stupid rockets so that Israel can use those rockets as an excuse to beat the crap out of us. And I got to say, it's like they don't care. The Hamas does not care.
Let me respond to that. First, in 2012, when Israel did the same thing.
Yes, they did.
Okay. The geostrategic situation was different. The issue is not PR for the U.S. or for President Obama. You know, the issue was that Egypt has a democratically elected president who was pro-Hamas. He's in jail. And who was making ground as far as, you know, making changes. Syria in turmoil. And President Obama, right away, because Egypt was his ground and said, hey, we can't allow this to happen. The Arab League convened that said, we can't allow this to happen. They went to Gaza. That Prime Minister of Egypt went to Gaza. While Gaza being bombarded to stand in solidarity with the Gaza. What happened was Obama, Mr. Obama, sent John Kerry right away to Netanyahu and I think he sent Clinton, Hillary Clinton back then, and prevented Netanyahu from mounting a ground invasion of Gaza. Because the geopolitical situation was different. Turkey was making a lot of noise. Qatar was making a lot of noise. They all supported Hamas and the Palestinians in Gaza, mainly the Palestinian victims in Gaza. He went to Gaza, the Arab League, and with the Turkish foreign minister, went to Gaza. They helped convince the Americans and force the American hand to prevent the pressure of Israel from mounting a ground invasion. Now, today, the scene is different. The geopolitical situation is different. Egypt is on the side of Israel. They are supporting Israel. They are making ground to have Israel destroy Hamas. Even though it kills hundreds of Palestinians, it doesn't matter. Saudi Arabia is nobody there.
Then where are the Egyptian people? Where are the Arabs? And where are, and not just the Arabs, Ali. Where's the Muslim world? I mean, this isn't a Christian-Israeli fight. The Christians are insignificant. This is a Muslim fight against Israel. Why isn't the Muslim world standing up and denouncing it? Why haven't they said anything? Why is it just the Arab world suddenly? I mean, none of them. Nobody's saying anything about what's happening.
And that's what Sami Abizouri, the spokesman for Hamas, said to the reporters yesterday angrily.
Yes.
He said, where are you? Where is the Arab world? Where is the Muslim world? We are Arabs. We are Muslims. Where are you? He said, and I quote, the West, United States, is a partner with Israel and supporting Israel. How come you're not supporting us? He said, we are shocked. We are disappointed. And even Hamas are disappointed and shocked at the way the Arabs are behaving.
Hamas makes it easy not to support them. I support the Palestinians, and I'm against what Israel's doing to the Palestinians, but I hold Hamas equally responsible for every death in Palestine and in Israel. And like every Arab government, like every Muslim, because I'll tell you what, the outcry is not there. Mainstream Muslims and mainstream Arabs are not screaming for an end to this war. Only the activists, Only the screamers are screaming.
Do you think, wait, let me ask you this. Do you think Hamas, or anybody, do they have the right to defend themselves against the Israeli bombardment?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. But if you come at me with a club and I have nothing, should I defend myself by spitting at you so you can hit me on my head again? How about I go to the police and call a policeman on you instead of spitting at you? In other words, if you can't stand up, they need to do something else, because when we say they have a right to defend themselves, but just firing rockets, do you think those rockets are defending themselves? I guess that's the question. Are they really defending themselves?
Yeah, let me respond to that.
Yes.
1988, when the first Intifada started, Palestinians and Hamas activists, they started, you know, defending themselves with a slingshot. Okay, you see, 2014, Hamas has developed drones. Okay, small drones, they're not attack drones.
Right.
They manufacture their own long range rockets that reach Haifa, reach Tel Aviv. Alibite, you know, granted, they have maybe small explosives or more explosives. The Palestinians, you look at the trajectory now, and from the 20 years before, they are making huge leaps as far as what kind of weapons they are developing while under siege by Egypt and Israel.
Have those weapons had an impact?
Now, in 10 years from now, Ray, 10 years or 20 years from now, I can imagine that Hamas will be much, if they stay, remain intact, of course, will be much more sophisticated, much more armed, and they are much more lethal in terms of weapons they can defend themselves with in the absence of political situation. Because I think the only solution to this problem is not rockets from Hamas or how far their technology they can themselves with, but only a political solution.
I agree with you.
Israel cannot annihilate Hamas.
Right.
Cannot take Gaza and occupy it again. The only thing that will help Israel and Hamas, Israelis and the Palestinians, Muslim Jews and Christians, is a political situation whereby Palestinians feel they have dignity, they have their own country, they can live in peace, they can go and come as they, you know, freely like everybody else.
There are going to be some people, and I agree with you, the only solution is a political solution. A military solution for the Palestinians doesn't work. But I'm going to tell you something. There are people out there who are going to say, wasn't it Hamas that stood in the way of the peace process from 1993 all the way until now, that they've never supported the peace process, even when they had their lull, even when they agreed to a cessation of firing, they only said, well, we'll do it for 5 years, we'll do it for 10 years. They've never gotten past 2 years.
Well,
they don't want a peace with Israel, do they? Let's be honest, do they?
I have an argument.
Do they want a peace with Israel?
So Israel contained Hamas in Gaza, right? Yeah.
Yes.
This tank is peace. No intifada. No armed resistance. Mahmoud Abbas and I both said, I am not interested in armed resistance. I am not interested in military struggle. I'm not interested in jihad. I'm not interested in carrying a rifle. Okay, he said all that. In other words, I think left is just to take his pants down and say, well, I'm naked. Okay, that's the only thing left for him to do.
So you think it's better to commit suicide kill ourselves? To just let the Israelis kill us? Is that the better option? They're not attacking Abbas. Abbas is a much stronger leader.
Right, but what happened in the West Bank? Is there a Palestinian state?
No, there isn't, partly because Hamas will not support it. And
Hamas in Gaza, who cares about Hamas?
No, they're half the country. And they could send... Every time we try to do something, Hamas explodes us, you know, a bomb or an attack, or they do everything. I mean, this whole thing, that Hamas had no right to fire rockets,
Hamas leader said, okay, they have established last month a national unity government whereby Hamas and the PLO join forces and they become one government.
Right.
It's opposed that. The U.S. opposed that.
Right.
The United States government under Obama and Israel. They don't want to see Hamas and the Palestinian Authority be working one hand in the interest of peace.
Right.
When Hamas joined the Abbas, they are saying essentially, we are doing the two-state solution. You go ahead, Abbas. Go ahead and negotiate. Do whatever you want.
They've never said that. The fact that you say they have said essentially means they've never said it truthfully. I don't trust Hamas. I don't trust them. And if I were Israelis, I wouldn't trust them either.
But in politics, say Hamas is not the government. It's a political party.
I'm almost tempted to say Hamas should go the way of the Muslim Brotherhood. In fact, this conflict has kind of changed my attitude about Egypt. I didn't like the way Morsi took over control through a military coup. But I have to say that Egypt is a better country now without the Muslim Brotherhood and all their agitation and their religious extremism. That scares me. Their rhetoric, their statements when Morsi was the president, I was a little concerned about it, but I think Egypt is a better country. I'm almost inclined to think if Hamas were out of the picture, maybe Palestinians would have a chance at a country too. That's my opinion.
Okay, granted. I think Egypt is a worse country now than it was. The Muslim Brotherhood leadership, they never said, you know, I'm a Namibia guy. We're both journalists, and, you know, we both follow the news. We are immersed in this. I follow Egypt. I cover the Egypt revolution, so-called revolution, June 30th. The Muslim Brotherhood never says anything what the Egyptian government is saying. It's the military government, now the ones who killed over hundreds of innocent protesters. They put 20,000 people in jail. This is a democracy? Is this something, is Egypt better off with 20,000 Egyptians are in jail for expressing an opinion? Hundreds of Egyptians, thousands of Egyptians were killed and slaughtered and burned alive.
I think that there are a lot of Egyptians who would say, yes, they are. I would say more than half the country believes they're better off.
Yeah, maybe half, but the other half should be killed.
No, they shouldn't be killed. Now, I agree with you that, you know, that, but as long as there is a threat, I think that Sisi, the president of Egypt now, is going to do everything he can to contain them. And I think the Muslim Brotherhood would use violence. Hamas didn't, in my opinion, didn't need to use violence, even against Israel's violence. We had a better option, but they've never tried it. They have never tried to use nonviolence as a response.
You know, this incident, this war started when three innocent teenagers were kidnapped and killed, right?
Well, that's what they say, but I mean, I believe it started before. I believe Israel started this war, and the Hamas went along with it because they act the same way, and they were predictable, and Israel knew they would do exactly what they were doing. They waited
so
for something dramatic. Yes, I do. Absolutely. I'm not defending Israel, by the way, just because I criticize Hamas. That's the claim of, you know, some of these radicals.
I'm not saying that. Yes,
yeah,
I'm
no,
not
no,
saying.
I know you're not, but there are people out there that are going to say, oh, you're defending Israel. No, I'm not. Israel started this fight. Israel's not clean. Netanyahu and his government have committed war crimes. But I don't think firing rockets at Israel will bring them to justice.
Well, to some extent, you are right. But see, if I were in Hamas shoes, you know, they have contacts with the outside world. They have constituency. They have hundreds of thousands of on payroll. They have to pay, and they don't want to look weak. They don't want to look
kind. They don't want to look weak. I agree with you, but I think that
they
that's pride.
Because it's important to them. Just like Netanyahu, he doesn't want to look weak. He's not defending his way.
But he can afford
Obama,
pride.
Does Obama want to look weak?
No, but you know, they can afford pride. Hamas can't afford pride. They can't afford pride. They need to set their pride. Listen, Ali, we're running out of time.
Yes.
What's your prediction over? Let's say over the next week. What is Israel's goal? What do you think is going to happen over the next week with a land invasion? Will it go a long time? Or will it be a reoccupation? Or will it just be an attempt to strike at the leaders? Or are they going to create a buffer zone to push Hamas further back away from the border?
I think what the Israelis are doing now, they're going to cut Gaza in half. They're going to the northern part to prevent Hamas long-range missiles from hitting Israeli targets. And they're going to bombard Gaza and Hamas and the Palestinians without mercy. And they will do everything they can to neutralize Hamas and bring it to submission and bring it to its heels. Unless Arab intervention, the world opinion turn against Israel, Israel will continue to do that. And you know, Netanyahu cannot afford an invasion deep into Gaza. He will have 1.8 million Palestinians at his feet. You know, he has to take care of that. And he can't put, you know, 50,000 Israeli troops inside Gaza. And all these fights, they will be killed, they will be kidnapped. It's a major issue for Israel to go ahead and recapitulate Gaza. The price will be so high to have it for Israel. So they will just, you know, be content with reoccupation of the sparsely populated northern part of Gaza, and while keeping the bombardment from the sea, from the air, and from the land good thing.
I agree. I think Israel's strategy is now to divide Gaza, to push Hamas's influence further south, away from their northern border of Gaza. They're going to control it. They're going to control that crossing, and they're going to put him in a vice between the Egyptian military and the Israeli military. But I also think, though, that if Hamas is taken out of this picture, I think we have a better chance for peace. I don't believe Hamas will ever. They're growing. I admit that. But if they grow too much, then it's over. There will never be a Palestine. We will never have freedom. And Israel will control us and will always be a subjugated people under Israel's oppression. I don't want that either. I want our people to be free. And I don't think the price of defending Hamas is worth that sacrificing their freedom.
Do you think that Palestinians, if they can't defend themselves and just negotiate forever, they've been negotiating now for over 20 years. They got nowhere.
Okay. Listen, Hamas, we negotiated for 20 years. No, but Hamas is the group that destroyed the negotiations. We never had a chance to negotiate. And Israeli fanaticism killed Rabin and destroyed the negotiations. But we didn't. There were people in our community who don't want compromise. They don't want negotiations. They don't want Israel. So, you know, you're right. It's going to come down to who's stronger. And right now, Israel is stronger. We're weaker.
Yeah. But Ray, listen, this is a cardinal rule of negotiations. If me and you negotiate over a car, or over a pizza, or over anything else, and you have a tank, and you have $1 billion, and me, a negotiation with you over this pizza, or this car, or this whatever, I have nothing. I'm almost half naked, and I am poor. Would you agree to give me half? No, because you're stronger than me.
If I didn't trust you, yes, I wouldn't agree.
You would not give me half, because negotiations mean compromises, like you said, and compromise is about a settlement. Settlement depends on the power equation. Who is stronger? And this is, whoever is stronger gives less, whoever is weaker gives up.
Then maybe we should work on becoming stronger instead of picking fights with Israel when we're weak. And maybe we should come together as a community rather than being divided between the religious extremists and the secular leadership. Because you know as well as I do that when Hamas and the secular Palestinian leadership come together, it never lasts. It's never lasted. It's just like the peace process. It's always failed. It's never achieved anything. I'm Rehan Ania.
And I'm Ali Yunus.
This has been the Arab Daily News Podcast, www.thearabdailynews.com.